Welcome to the Tea Grannies. I'm Elise.
And I'm Mariah. Today we're here to chat about where writers go wrong with social media. So pour yourself a cup of tea and let's get started.
Where writers go wrong, social media edition.
Everywhere.
You're so excited for this episode.
I am. I have seen so much bad behavior lately. I have like a lot to say.
Where did you people all come from? You were doing fine, but I guess no.
They were.
Things on social media were never fine.
No.
But yeah, we're talking about social media today and for authors specifically and why it's necessary, a necessary evil, I like to call it. Whether it's actually necessary is debatable, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Because I don't have the intelligence backup necessary to have that conversation right now. But fair. whether it's necessary or not, it is highly recommended. And this is from me, a digital marketer who avidly despises social media in all forms. So
I love that contrast. Love that.
If I didn't feel like it was necessary to my career, I would delete all of my accounts. I am not joking. I would be done. Like, I waste so much time on it. I feel like it does nothing. But that's a great start to this episode. I'm here to tell you why it does do something for
you. But you do like it when I send you funny memes.
Oh, yeah. You can send me that on Messenger and I'll never check the other accounts ever again. I wanted to put that together up front just so that like people are keeping that in mind as my bias as I'm talking about things and as they listen to this episode, because like it is relevant.
Yeah. So. And then there's my bias, which is I love to waste time and procrastinate, so I love social media. Just dangerous for me.
Valid.
Yeah.
So starting with like, if you want a career as an author, whether it's traditionally published or self-published, it doesn't matter. Having a social media presence is going to benefit you. Agents and editors and traditional publishers will all look to see if you can like market yourself online and if you have an audience or if you're capable of building one or like willing to build one. Because like, let's be honest, debut authors often don't have anyone following them because they haven't put anything out yet. So like, I don't think there's a huge expectation for you to have hundreds of followers or anything. But to be available online, to be like someone that your readers can find. And that's my second point, is that your readers will look you up online. And if, especially if they want more books from you, right? So it's in your best interest to make it easy for them to find you. And like, I personally like to look up authors that I enjoy just to get a, like a hint of their personality, if they choose to share that online. So it's not like I'm following them super closely and looking at everything they ever post, but like I'll read a book, really enjoy it, and look up the author on social media and be like, what else have they written? Kind of look into them a little bit. And that's way easier to do if they're on platforms that I'm already on. So yeah, whether you're going for traditional or self-publishing, it essentially just makes it easier for your audience to find you. And that, in my opinion, that can't be a bad thing. That's only going to help you in the long run.
Yes. And I think having a good social media presence is important, what you choose to do with it even more so, because it's important for marketing. Obviously, we can't avoid that. And it helps, but it helps you connect with readers and other authors. But one of the most important things to remember, I don't think I can say this enough, is other authors are your colleagues, not your competition. If you approach your online relationships with this in mind, you're going to have an easier time. So keep that in mind as we discuss things in this episode.
And before anyone starts to panic, like I would if I was, you know, coming at this as a newbie, I would totally be freaking out. But we're not saying, we are definitely not saying that you have to keep up a consistent presence on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Threads and YouTube. Yes, YouTube is social media. And Reddit. Like, no, you don't have to be on all of them. You don't have to be on nearly that many. And just hang tight. We'll talk about specific platforms more in a bit. But first, we're going to pop over to our first page critique and have some fun. Take a little break from this conversation. And then
get back to it.
And then come back to it. We'll get back into it. Yeah. Part 1, Chapter 1, Vosges, Jade. It's almost the end of my shift, and the small diner is quiet. I wait behind the counter as our former high school star quarterback's gaze flickers between the diner's once white display above my head and me. When his three obnoxious friends settle loudly at the largest table by the window I cleaned this morning, I exhale slowly. Crap. They're eating in. I don't like him. I don't think anyone does, nor should, but Andy Macron is the very spoiled son of Vosges' mayor, a bully shark in a small fishbowl. Three burgers with cheese fries, one onion rings, and four chocolate milkshakes? His cocky grin still in place, he turns toward one of his friends, whose thick fingers fly over the cell, holding his attention. Mo, wanna try a burger? Glancing over my shoulder, I grin at Flo, who rolls her eyes as she leans against the wall of the narrow kitchen. She's the only other employee of the Star Diner, where she also serves as our very good line cook and the manager of everything, except for the money handling she happily leaves for Bernie, the owner of the L-shaped eatery. Mo, the brutishly large, or is it wide, receiver, shakes his head without lifting his eyes from his device. The tall, in-love-with-himself butthole scoffs as he pivots back to me. And a salad for the vegetarian pussy. He says the word with his usual entitled glee I've always found detestable.
So my overall comments were, I don't have a lot of comments on this one. Mostly because it feels like we're not starting the story in the right place. I would suggest that this writer review their starting point once their draft is complete and see if they can move it further into the story. Mm. And I say this because we don't learn much about Jade in the first page. Right. We get a little bit about the high school quarterback and we get introduced to Mo's character, which could definitely wait till later in the chapter. And that's pretty much what happens. It takes up the whole first page is taking up valuable real estate and we don't learn anything about our point of view character. Mm-hmm. And I need a little more of that to be convinced to continue reading. And this is a common issue in the first chapters. I think that's why we like doing the first chapter or first page episode. And I've seen it in published works too. So it's not like it's just unpublished or writers who are still workshopping. I've seen it everywhere. And I swear to God, it's from having to write introductions and essays all through school. Because I feel like everybody feels like they need to write an introduction to the story. Like, here's so-and-so, and here we are, and blah, blah, blah.
And here's my thesis. This is what we're going to talk about today. Here's my thesis,
and this is, I'm going to expand on it, the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And it happens so much, and it's a habit that I also had to break, and it's a very hard habit to break. Mm. So what I would recommend, though, rather than beating yourself up about it, is start the story from wherever you need to start just to get it going. Mm-hmm. And then when you go back to edit or review it, decide if that actually suits your story or not as a starting point. And then you can just change it.
Yeah. It's
not too hard to do. And I say that too, a lot of this information could be fed to us a little more slowly. Like, why does Jade dread him staying so much? Does this happen often? Does she need this job for a particular reason? So she has to put up with a bunch of bullshit because she needs the job for whatever reason. She's saving for school or whatever. And I do suspect this is a contemporary romance where, like, the popular high school guy is a bully but redeems himself, which totally works. But I do need to know more about Jade in this chapter. And I would go as far to say we don't even need to meet Andy on the first page. So at least we have some other notes about this, but those are my thoughts. I did like the other things about this page. I thought it was, like, written well and everything like that. It's got potential. I like the last line, the entitled glee I've always found detestable. I do love that. So I think this is on the right track, but yeah, just starting in the wrong spot.
I'm getting, like, distinct 2004 Cinderella story vibes from this, and that may be the first time I've made a pop culture reference about a teen rom-com that I actually remember. So
I'm so proud of you.
I was just gonna say, my friends must be so proud, and look, there's the proof. So yeah, my guess is that this is a contemporary romance with probably an enemies to lovers trope marked between Jade and Andy. I'd be really curious to know if I'm right about that, actually. Like, nothing wrong with any of that. If I'm right, it just means you're setting up the reader expectations exactly as you seem to want them, so kudos to you. And overall, the setting is decently established. I liked the diner descriptions. Like, I had a very clear image of where all of these people were, so setting, check, well done. And then there's conflict right off the bat on the first page, which everyone knows we dearly love. So all that said, I didn't find myself really engaged by this page either. And the two main reasons I can identify are similar to what Maria had said. The first one being, we have no idea what the main character's motivations are. Like, why do they think Andy is so awful? Her distaste for him just feels stereotypical at this point instead of interesting because we haven't been given a reason or a motivation for why. Even if it's a stupid reason, totally fine. We just need to understand where she's coming from in order to empathize with her properly, and I currently can't do that, which makes me like feel not super interested in getting to know her more. So if you were going to edit this, if you're at the point where you're ready to make revisions, that's where I would start. And then the second thing is that we get a whole paragraph of information about the diner and who works there in what feels to me like an unnecessary info dump. Like, it may be helpful to understand the diner in that way for the rest of the story, but I think if that's the case, we can learn that information later. If it's even needed, we'll find out, I guess. So essentially, the information we do receive in this page doesn't feel necessary enough to be included so soon. It could be introduced at different points in the story as we meet different people or as it becomes relevant. And that'll make that information more effective and more memorable along the way. But right now, page one, we're still supposed to be setting up the characters and their context. And I feel like I got way too much info about the setting and not nearly enough info about those other things. It's interesting to me that Maria suggested, like, not even meeting Andy on the first page, which could definitely work if we're just wanting to learn about Jade. I personally don't mind that she interacts with Andy right away because we can learn a lot about her character from that interaction and why she doesn't like him and all of that stuff. But right now we're not getting that. So if that's going to happen, I want to know at least her surface level reason for hating him so much if I'm going to have any empathy for her. And then, as always, I 100% agree with Maria that these are things to revise once the whole draft is complete. If it's still unfinished, don't worry about it. You may find that there's a better place to start the story once you're done. If it is complete, I would focus on that, what I said earlier, establishing those character motivations and the reader's empathy for them in the first page, while, if you want, introducing a bit of the conflict, and then go on from there. But all that to say, this is a great start, and happy editing. Coming back to our conversation from before, we said don't panic because we're going to talk about what platforms you should be on. And spoiler alert, not a lot. I'm not going to recommend being on more than one to start, honestly. So I'll back up a little bit. Something that I've occasionally mentioned on the show is that I have a day job where I do digital marketing for a company that serves a whole bunch of clients, small businesses, entrepreneurs, nonprofits. It's called Writer's Block Solutions. You can look us up, blah, blah, blah. Happy plug. There we go. So we do digital marketing for many of those clients. And I'm drawing from that experience a lot with this episode. And whenever we talk about marketing, that's in the background there. So just in case you're wondering why you should listen to me about any of this information, that's why. I primarily consult with clients on their website and social media presence. So I know a thing or two, and I'll tell you some of the basic things we usually start with when meeting with a new client to work with them. Number one, you don't need to be on all the platforms. I will keep reminding you of that throughout this episode. Number two, different platforms serve different purposes. Know your platforms. And what they're for. Number three, go where your target audience is. So of course, know your audience. And that's always the place to start. Like, who are you talking to? Who are you writing for? Why are you writing this book? Why are you the best person to write this book? That kind of stuff. I think something a lot of people don't realize or understand in the social media conversation is that piece about the platform serving different purposes and different target audiences. So for example, if you want to post a picture of your food and drink at your birthday dinner, that's not super great material for a LinkedIn post, but it fits right in on Facebook and Instagram, depending on your followers, of course, depending on your audience. You're always thinking about that. I have accounts on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Just we're going to call it Twitter.
And, still Twitter to me as well.
And Threads. But to be clear, I don't keep a consistent presence on all of those. And I certainly don't cross post everything on all of them. I have a LinkedIn account where I occasionally will like reshare some stuff related to my job and my freelance editing business. But I rarely, if ever, post about anything else there, let alone like my own books. And I mean, I rarely, if ever, post about my books anywhere, so that's a whole separate issue. But most of my followers on Facebook are friends and family who just want to keep in touch. So posting about my books is more to keep them updated and aware, and I don't spend as much time doing that. Yeah, I'm not super intentional, and I don't make a complicated strategy for that one, because that's not how I want to treat my friends and family. Like, I don't want to inundate them with promotional material all the time. Like, that's not how those relationships work for me. So Instagram is the platform that I started with. I started with that and nothing else. And it's where I intentionally sought out other like-minded people, authors, editors, readers, book lovers, to form a community with and to hear about other books and to support each other. Like, it started from that place. And so coming back to, you do not need to be on all of them. I picked one. I picked the one that I hated the least, or pick the one that you like the best, like wherever you're coming at this from. The one that I didn't feel like would suck my soul whenever I had to make a post, just one that felt easy to me. So for example, whenever I try and post something on Twitter or Threads, I am filled with immediate anxiety, and my mind goes completely blank and I can't write anything, and I'm a writer. So I can't do Twitter or Threads. I will reshare, and I might make a comment or two very occasionally, because I rarely ever spend any time on there anyways, but I cannot for the life of me post on those platforms. It hurts. It makes me feel pain. So yeah, you do not need to be on all of them. Even they get traditionally published, I still would recommend starting with one. Choose the one that you actually like using, or that you don't hate using. And then if you feel ready and if you feel like you need more, you can expand to use a variety of platforms over time. But you don't have to do even that. You can stick with one. Having one or two platforms that you do really well is going to be leagues better than being on every single platform there is and just posting shitty content all the time. Like, no one's going to want to follow you in that case, right? And then there's no one size fits all for which platform will serve you best. So I'm not going to tell you which platform to choose, unfortunately. I can't just give you that answer. Some people hate taking photos and videos, so they stick with Twitter and Threads because it's all just quick written sentences. And like I said, I can't do that. I'm not capable of approaching things that way. So maybe you're more like me and you prefer photos, in which case, you know, Instagram or Facebook might serve you better. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like, video is just bigger now on all platforms because of how the algorithms work. But that doesn't mean that you have to do them all the time. And it doesn't mean that, like, mm-hmm. that's all you have to post or anything. Like, variety is really good. So don't get too worked out about it. And the other thing to consider is, like, especially with TikTok, like, it's not supposed to be this polished production.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're trying too hard.
Yes.
it's like, we're all just people posting random shit that we came up with. So
it's so true. Yeah, I agree. Like, pick one or two platforms that you enjoy or you think you can get started on pretty successfully, and just start there. You don't have to have an account for everything. Like, mm-hmm. I like to use Instagram and Threads the most. I don't care for Twitter too much. I know BookTok is absolutely huge, but I just hate making videos. Yeah. So I don't force myself to make videos because yeah. they will suck if I really hate them. Like, you're gonna know. And I know it's great for marketing and all that good stuff, but I mean, for TikTok, for me, like, I just want to see funny animal videos and, like, people falling down, you know. I'm not really there for, like, anything else. And so, yeah, stick with what you like and what you find comes most easily to you. It probably won't come easily at all at first. That's how it felt for me. But yeah, and, like, I have a LinkedIn account, but I never use it. I forgot it existed until Elise said something about it.
Most people, just now. That's true of most people.
Okay, good. So you know,
most people don't use it.
I love it. And yeah, like, we automatically share to Facebook, but I don't often cruise there. I don't follow, like, a lot of groups or anything on there. I find, like, basically Facebook is, like, so my aunts and uncles can see what I'm doing once in a while. You know what I mean? And I can, mm-hmm. you know, keep my finger on the pulse of who's gotten really racist and delete them.
Love that.
Yeah, I gotta love that. Facebook's great for that. And you know, without sounding, like, super judgmental, like a judgmental millennial, but Facebook is really for the boomers. Mm-hmm. And so I don't worry too much about being active on there.
Mm-hmm. One thing I forgot to mention, which is just like for LinkedIn specifically, chances are mm-hmm. that's not going to be where authors need to go to promote no. their stuff. Like no. that is not what that platform is for. It's for networking no. in a professional mm-hmm. space, which is why I said like I go on there as a digital marketer and I connect mm-hmm. with other digital marketers and other people working in similar industries, and I connect with mm-hmm. other editors and I follow publishers, and like you're not going to come on there as an author and be like, hey, buy my book. It's
yeah.
Chances are it's unless you're writing nonfiction and mm-hmm. you're speaking to some of those very specific industries and audiences. Like mm-hmm. that's why I say choose your platform based on your audience and where you think they yes. are and where they're going to be receptive to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If you're writing fantasy or fiction like we are, chances are LinkedIn is not it.
Not your place. So but like Instagram and TikTok yeah. is your place.
Yeah. You know that's, what I mean? That's one thing we can say. LinkedIn is mm-hmm. not the one for you. So, no. you know, there you no. go. Free advice. You're welcome.
And so once you've picked your platform, then we come into what is actually probably the hardest part for most people, especially when they start, is what kind of stuff should you post?
Uh-huh.
Everyone's favorite. So what I did is I asked this question across our Instagram and our threads, nice. And I compiled the common answers. The first one would be pet photos. So I won't lie, this is like the best part of social media ever, is everyone posting their pet pictures. So everybody loves them. Mm-hmm. I think it's also a great way for maybe shy followers to engage with you if they're a little too anxious to comment or interact with like your more author or book related posts.
Just like at a real party, gravitate exactly. towards your dogs.
Yeah. And like if someone says they have a dog, you bust out the pictures of your dog, and next thing you know, you guys are having a conversation with your friends. So it is a great way to interact with people. Discussing how it isn't all sunshine and rainbows for authors. So it doesn't hurt to discuss the difficulties of publishing and writing, whatever failures you have under your belt. And writers are human, and your readers love that about you. So don't feel like you have to be perfect. I think there's a lot of perfection already on social media. Yeah. People acting like everything is great. And, you know, show that you're like,
show that real,
you're not a bot. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I was going to, this is more like what not to post, but mm-hmm. I'm going to plug it here because I'm thinking of it. When you're showing that you're human and showing how it's not all sunshine and rainbows, I do see there's a lot of authors that just talk about like how hard writing is and how how painful it is and how people mm-hmm. should like feel bad for them and actually buy their stuff mm-hmm. because of how hard it is. And like, okay, that's not what we're talking about here. That just makes you sound like you're trying to get pity votes, basically. Like, buy my book because this was so hard to write. Like, no, that's not a marketing strategy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Playing the victim is not a good quality. It's and not if attractive. You find yourself doing that, I would suggest going to therapy, mm-hmm. figuring out why you do mm-hmm. that, because it won't make you any friends.
Therapy.
Yeah, therapy's good. We plug that a lot. Anyway, back to the episode. Writing, publishing, marketing tips are also welcome, but bear in mind this can be a bit of a divisive topic and mm-hmm. people are pretty brave behind their keyboards. So how you deliver this type of information is important, and you will get people commenting and taking it like so literally and not seeing any kind of context. So that is going to happen. So just be careful how you phrase it. And posting what you're currently reading and loving, what kind of books you're excited for, and plugs for up and coming authors that your followers may enjoy. So these are great things to post. It shows you welcome other writers and you understand that your books aren't the be all and end all for each reader. Like mm-hmm. this is the thing I do see kind of often, is people are like, you have to read my book, and they don't want to recommend other books because it's mm-hmm. like I think it's a competition. And I'm like, well, the thing is, if someone liked your book and you recommend another author who's similar and they like that book, they're gonna remember that.
Yeah.
And they're always gonna
recommend those two together to somebody else.
Yes, absolutely. And your word of mouth gets better because you were not an asshole. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So I feel like that's just throwing that out there. That's a good one. Posting things from your everyday life. So this varies from person to person mm-hmm. and what you're comfortable sharing. If you're not comfortable sharing photos of your house or your partner, then don't do it. If you like taking nature photos, share that. I love seeing what my favorite authors and bookstagrammers even are up to, like from their other hobbies to like day jobs and more. It's just interesting, you know, mm-hmm. and it's cool to see how different people's lives are and yet how we can all come together and love a book or an author or something like that. I think that's cool. Talk to your readers. This is a pretty big complaint that I get from other bookstagrammers. Is they understand it like when an author is really huge, like Brandon Sanderson's not sitting on his Instagram answering all the comments on his posts and every DM he gets. And I don't even know if he even has Instagram. I was just throwing that out there as an example.
I follow him.
But if you can interact in the ways that make you feel comfortable. So like if direct messages make you uncomfortable, you put no DMs in your profile and then just don't open them and don't answer them. Like make it, set your boundary, be done with it. And we'll talk about boundaries a little later in the episode. And then we get down to promotional content. So a lot of people said they do like the promotional content, but within reason. So of course your followers are going to know you're an author and you will be marketing your book. They know they're going to see it. And there's a variety of ways to go about it. Just be aware how much you post and that you're not shoving it down your followers' throats. Like, marketing is hard, but alienating readers because you can't read the room is worse.
I wanted to, that's the main point that I wanted to touch on in this section, because this is a massive part of what we do for clients at my day job, is we, when we're consulting with them on their marketing material, basically on any platform that they use, whether that's website, newsletter, social media, or otherwise, we initially start with recommending that they create a content schedule. So plan out what you're going to post for a few weeks and then schedule that ahead of time. Or like if you prefer to go with the flow, I think still planning it out is going to be useful to you. But then you can like post day of and decide what you're going to write day of. But have a topic kind of planned out and just like have a schedule set in place to help yourself along the way so that you're not coming to posting day and being like, oh, I don't know what to post. I haven't thought about it. And when you're doing that, the there's a couple different ratios that we recommend, because this is the promotional content piece. This is where I see brands, like companies that are marketing their services or the products that they're selling. This is where they usually make the biggest mistake. Because if you're just posting about your product every single day, all the time, and that's all you ever talk about, no one wants to follow you. Like when someone follows me and I go and look at their page and that's what their page is, I do not follow them back. That is just the way it is. Like I'm not interested in having that shoved down my throat every single day. So we recommend choosing from a couple different ratios. There's a bunch of different ones you can look into. Everyone's going to have a different recommendation for what's best and why it works or whatever, but I wouldn't be too concerned about the numbers. My favorite personally is the 80-20 rule. That's 80% like fun content, all that other stuff you want to post about, and only 20% promotional. I like it because that is such a tiny chunk of promotional content. I don't have to think about it very often. So like if that's where you're at, make it easy on yourself. Like, don't make this hard on yourself. We waste way too much time on it as it is. Do whatever you can to make this just smooth sailing. Another ratio that we often will recommend is the rule of thirds. You only do one third of your content as promotional content with calls to action to like buy your book or whatever. And then another third can be educational or informative content about your industry that your audience would actually appreciate. And another third can be like lifestyle, curated, reshared content from your followers and other fun stuff like that. Like if you take nature photos and all that kind of good stuff, right? So there's a lot of different ways to do this. And just be aware that like different types of content serve different purposes too. Just like different channels, different platforms are for different reasons. Different content will get you different kinds of engagement. So promotional content is meant to drive sales or conversions or whatever action you want the audience to take when they see that post, which means that you're kind of directing them to click onto your profile, to click a link to your website or to Amazon or whatever. Like you're trying to shove them off the platform to go buy something. So for that one, you want to look at link clicks. Are you getting clicks? And are you getting comments? Like all of that is kind of interesting. What are people engaging with? It can be interesting to look and compare. But if you hate all that analytics stuff, then don't do it. Like you could just fly by the seat of your pants. Like just do what works for you. But then educational content is meant to be informative. And the thing that this does is it helps set you up as a knowledgeable individual on a certain topic or issue, which may help you find more of your target audience, because they'll be like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about and they talk about things that I'm interested in too. And then they'll be more likely to want to follow you. It builds your reputation, basically. And so if your knowledge is really significantly tied to what you're writing about, then that's definitely something you want to be posting about. Like if you know, if you lived in Greece for 10 years and you're writing about Greek mythology, like tell us
that. Share that.
Share pictures of your time in Greece. Like, absolutely. So yeah, we want to know that what your knowledge background is, especially when it's tied to the product that you're selling. And then the lifestyle and fun content is probably where you'll see the most engagement if your followers are actually engaged. Like, that's the fun stuff. That's the easiest stuff to comment on. That's the pet pictures. Yes. That's like, how's your dog doing? That's it's where they're going to comment and like and share and come out to support each other, because that's the stuff that's actually relatable. That's
that's human stuff.
It's human stuff. This is a community of people looking for friendship, looking for connection, and that's what we connect on. So I would say that's why I like the 80-20 rule, because I think that should be 80% of your content. You're building a community of like-minded people. If you're only ever telling them to buy something, then it's very clear that you have an ulterior motive and you want something out of them. And I don't know about you, but when I feel that way in my friendships, I don't spend very much time with those people. I actively avoid those people and look for people who, like, they don't want anything from me aside from just, let's chat, let's hang out, let's comfort each other, let's, you know, do life
bringing
together.
Lots of tea options. And I feel like for those who are probably feeling overwhelmed right now, because I know that this is a lot, actually, the thing that's helped me the most with my Bookstagram is content scheduling. So not just scheduling my content, but like, I sit down, like, I pretty much do it every weekend. I'll like block a couple hours on like Sunday or something. And I'm like, I'm going to take pictures today. I'm going to plan out my posts and I'm going to write my captions. And then that way during the week, because like obviously I have a real life job and I have like real life responsibilities, I'm not just like going to sit down on like Wednesdays when I post a book review and write my 3-paragraph book review. Like, I've already written it. It's sitting there in a Google Doc and I just have to kind of copy and paste. And so do the things that make it easier for you. Like, and it will help with the overwhelm. Like, the content scheduling has helped me a lot with the overwhelm. And it's just another thing that I like to do is I have a list of things that I can post or post that I'm looking forward to doing at some point. And that way, when I go to make my plan, my content, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to post on Friday. I'd be like, oh, I've been meaning to tell everybody about this Regency romance author that I like. I'm going to take a picture of her book and I'm going to post it and be like, I love this book. Have you guys read it? And stuff like that. So like, I keep a running list. Like, my list is actually humongous to the point when I go to make my content, I'm like, oh, what should I pick? I have so many things, and it doesn't happen like that right away. So
no, you have to build it up.
You got to build it up. And that's also part of where knowing your audience is very important. So when I post on my Instagram, like, I actually schedule posts for Instagram. I do not for Threads. Threads is like the thoughts that run through my ADHD brain that gets shared with the world or whatever. And that's kind of the beauty of the different platforms. And people like that on Threads, whereas on Instagram, they do like the kind of curated content with like the questions. Like, even if it's the same question you've seen another Bookstagrammer post 8,000 times, your followers are going to comment on it and see. And you see your opinion and all that good stuff. So for those of you feeling overwhelmed or disorganized, content scheduling is your friend, and however you choose to do it, it's fine. I just do it in a note on my phone, and I have a Google Doc with my book reviews, and I have it organized by the month, which I'm like, oh, I just have, and it sounds like really organized, but it doesn't feel that organized to me. But that is kind of a good place to start. And now we are at what not to post. I feel like this should be obvious, but I've seen a lot of bad behavior lately on social media from authors in particular. And so I think we're going to go through a list of no-nos. I won't get too into the drama I have seen, but I will start with one thing. This is so basic. Don't review bomb other authors. I feel like that's really straightforward. But there was a big discovery of drama happening, and it was this debut author who got a deal with a with an agent, etc., etc. She got a deal with Illumicrate, which, if you're not familiar, is one of the most beautiful book subscription boxes you can get. Amazing, like, the special editions from there are so gorgeous. So it's a big deal to get picked, and that's supposed to come out this year, I believe. Super hype, sounds amazing. What amazing fantasy. Except she decided to hide behind some fake usernames and review bomb other debut authors, specifically people of color, and debut authors from the same publishing house.
Why?
So when this person was outed by the author of Iron Widow, they had the receipts, okay? Mm. And you can find them online. You find them on TikTok, or on their TikTok, you can find it. The author tried to fake screenshots and pretend it was someone else.
Oh, God.
Then came out with a statement blaming her mental health. So I'm no expert, but mental health does not make you a racist. And that, my friends, is how she completely blew her very promising career and blacklisted herself in the whole industry. So don't wild. Do shit like that. That's yeah. So like, can you imagine wild. Doing I can't. That? I'm also like, who has time to do this shit?
Okay, as this was happening, as this drama unfolded in on all the socials, I was reading Yellowface by R.F. Kuang.
Oh, nice.
Have you read it?
Yeah. It's on my list. I'm waiting for it from the library because you have my copy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But yeah, very appropriately timed.
Oh, my word. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. As I was reading that book, I was like, I know that I shouldn't be as shocked as I am because this kind of stuff happens in real life. But how does this happen? Like, I don't understand how this happens. And then it happened in real life. I was like, what? How? Who are these people? How do they think that this is like a valid strategy? How?
Yeah. And it makes also, no like, sense who, to me. Who raised you, who? You wild animal?
Oh, my word.
I know there's so much stuff I see and I'm just like, oh gosh, you need to get out and touch some grass, my friend.
My goodness.
You gotta get outside more. So anyway, that's the drama. That was the latest big drama. I'm sure there's been more since, like, by the time this episode comes out, people are gonna be like, but this happened. Okay, this is what was current at the time of recording. All right.
Yeah. At the beginning of January.
Yes. And okay, so other things you should not post. Or just be aware, if you're going to post a controversial opinion and you know it's controversial.
If you want to start shit.
If you want to start shit, consider your tone. Uh-huh. Consider how it will affect your brand. Be prepared for backlash, people unfollowing you, people saying they'll never read your book. There's going to be some harassment. There's going to be troll comments. Before you post stuff, just be aware that you could be walking into that. And if that's something that's going to be hard on your mental health or that you as a person just don't want to deal with, it's really easy to just not post it. Just be quiet.
Don't do it.
Unless that has to do with you and your career, in which case, yeah, you're going to have to address it. But that's a whole different thing. We won't get into that right now. And the basics, don't name call or otherwise treat people like shit. Mm-hmm. The internet has a very long memory. I feel like this should be kind of basic, but I'm always amazed at the amount of people who are jerks all over their social media, and they're like, I don't know why people don't want to buy my book or talk to me. And it's like, you really don't? Like, you have no self-awareness, not even just a tiny little bit. Maybe you're an asshole.
A point to the internet's long memory. Something that I think people don't realize or appreciate is that even once if you think you've deleted something that was once shared on the internet, it's almost guaranteed that you have not.
Yeah.
If you think you took down a website, if you think you deleted a post from Facebook, like, you don't own anything that you put on a social media platform. You post on Facebook, Facebook owns that. They can do whatever they want with that information. There's certain guidelines and things, and you can download your stuff and ask them to delete your account, yada, yada, yada. But if you think that you just deleted a post and then it's gone and you're safe, don't count on that.
Yeah, don't count on that.
I think... because we have no control over those things, like we cannot control whether Facebook or Meta or any of the other companies actually deletes your content when you request that. It could still be living somewhere. You have no way of knowing that. Essentially, if you don't want to come back and bite you in the ass, don't post it. If it's something that you eventually might want to delete and get rid of, don't post it in the first place because you cannot guarantee that it will disappear. There's something, I believe it's called the Internet Archive. It might have a different name, but there's a website that you can go to that has basically records of everything that has ever been on the internet and whether it's been deleted or not. Like,
that is terrifying.
If you think you've deleted it, you probably haven't. People do not know this. They do not realize this. They do not appreciate. Once it's on the internet, it is alive forever. Anyone can go and take what you post and turn it into, like, they can screenshot it. They can take it. You have no idea if they've done that. You have no idea if they've done that. So I'm not saying this to, like, doom and gloom freak people out. Yeah. Just, like, be aware of what you're posting.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Have some basic logic and use it. Just do that.
If you want to like shout it at your whole friends and family, don't put it on the internet. And that leads us into, please do not post only promotional content. Mm. Marketing's rough, but it's a really quick way to alienate readers and followers and potential readers. They don't want to see post after post after post of your book and how they should buy it, especially if it's the same post over and over again. Oof. You would think that's not out there, but it is.
But it is.
And if they're following you and your book has been out for a while, there's a good chance they've already read it or they're planning on reading it. So you don't have to keep shoving it down their throat. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they don't want to read your book, maybe it's because it doesn't suit their taste that they like you. And then maybe your next book will work for them.
Sure. Yeah.
That's really happened. I followed authors because like I just like chatting with them and I like them. Mm-hmm. And they post something that's really like not, you know, like a historical fiction that's maybe not a era that I like to read about. So like I'm probably not gonna read it, but if someone asks me about a historical fiction, I'd be like, well, I haven't read it, but so and so has this one that came out. Like you don't want to alienate people who can help with word of mouth. And I think that's so important to me because like I have been in horses for a really long time, mm-hmm. and word of mouth is like the number one thing in the horse industry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how nice your website is. Doesn't matter how great your photos are, how cute your horses are.
Yeah.
If people in the industry know that you like abuse your horses or you verbally assault your staff or whatever, they know that. They tell other people that. Yeah. Then everybody knows, yeah. right?
It's the same across industries. Like within freelance editing, mm-hmm. I want to say all of my clients from word of mouth referrals, and that's just like that. That is how we as human works. If mm-hmm. if you know someone, you're more likely to take a job from them than from someone you've never heard of before, because we are inherently suspicious of other people. So
it's true.
A little bit of trust goes a long way.
That's true. And that leads us into don't burn bridges unless you're sure it won't bite you in the ass, or make sure you're confident that you can deal with the outcome if that happens. Yeah. Especially, like, I've seen a lot of people be like, go ape shit on like an author or a publisher or something on like socials. And then they kind of get checked by people, like reality checked. Mm. But by then it's too late. The damage is done. Like, be very careful about using social media as like your sort of justice deliverance.
Yeah.
I can understand the temptation because I think we can all be pretty brave behind our keyboards. And we're also like more articulate than in person, but just be careful, you know, don't start shit you can't finish. That's what I'm saying. And use the block button liberally. If it upsets you, if it hurts your feelings, whatever, block. That's your friend. You see an idiot that keeps trolling your friend's posts on like Threads or something, just block them.
I think that's,
don't get into it.
That's like healthy boundary setting, like not totally. Obviously not in real life, it doesn't work the same way.
But like on social media
you have that ability. You don't need to see that content on your feed.
Yeah.
And you can control whether it's there or not in a lot of cases. So.
And something I almost forgot to mention is when you are being supportive of your Bookstagram friends or your writer friends, make sure you've read the caption of what they posted before you hit like or share. Because one day I hit like on someone's post that I'd followed for a long time. I chatted with them all the time. And I'm like, oh, they posted, like, I didn't have time to look at it. So I just hit like because I liked that book, or I was ready to read that book soon. And I was like, I'll come back and read it later. And then Elise texted me, it was like, have you seen this? And I was like, well, I guess I did see it. I liked it, but I don't remember. So I went and read the caption. Oh my God. It was all full of racism. And I was like, oh no.
I remember this. Yes.
You remember that. Yeah. Okay. And I ended up blocking that Bookstagrammer. So that Babel was racist towards white people. And I absolutely I cackled. And the thing is, here's the thing, bad press could be good for you too, because she had like 18,000 followers. She posted that. And what ended up happening was we got like, I don't know how many people together for a buddy read, and we all loved it, all because we bonded over that person's
horrible post.
And we ended up reading the book and everybody loved it. And we all gave it a great review. And it was really helped us actually, I think, enjoy that book more because we could see like how ridiculous it was that they had said all that stuff. So that's the other thing to be aware of. Be careful what you're liking and commenting on.
Sure.
It's easy to just scroll past it. But if someone is posting shit like that, you don't want to be associated with them anyway. So remove yourself from that situation. And this one, oh, this is kind of a tough one because like I kind of hate it and I kind of get it and I kind of don't mind it at the same time. I'm all over the map. DMing bookstagrammers and asking them to read or buy your book. So it's one thing if you're offering like an advanced reader copy and you're going to send it to them for free in exchange for a review. That's okay. You can send that message. But I cannot tell you how many people have messaged me to buy their book in a genre I don't read. And all they would have had to do is look at my page to know that. Mm-hmm. Or DM me about how much they love my show and my page. And they don't even follow our page. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you probably don't listen to our show either. Mm-hmm. It's just not a good look. And I've had a lot of messages too for advanced reader copies that I couldn't accept due to like time limitations and whatnot. But if I like the blurb and the author was like really sweet and like I like their vibe, I will just add it to my TBR pile because yeah, I don't have time to read it now, but I do want to support other authors. And if they reach on like, hey, I noticed like you and Elise really like to read like fantasy and like I just wrote this fantasy, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someone will accept that. If they can't, like, you know, you should shot your shot. Yeah. but yeah, just be wary of like doing the old like buy my book. And like I've gotten some messages where I look at it and I'm like, you sent that and thought that was good marketing, because
yeah,
yeah, it's like you don't even. Oh.
Yeah, I'm less. I think I'm less tolerant of that behavior than you are. It sounds like, because as soon as someone, if someone comes into my DMs, telling me, hey, no previous contact, we haven't really chatted, we haven't really talked, and they're suddenly DMing me to say, hey, I just wrote this book, people, please buy it. Here's the link.
Yeah, that's so block. Weird to me.
I'm done.
Yeah. Like, okay. If they're doing it to buy it, I'm like, well,
it's
no.
Spam. It's spam to me. Just be aware of that.
If someone's asking if I'll read their like arc or something, or they just want to put it on my radar and they're not like asking me to buy it or anything.
ARC
like,
is a totally different ballgame. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. But yeah, if you're messaging me and asking me to buy something, like, I mean, I'm kind of one of those people, I don't like being told what to do.
Nope.
So if you tell me to buy your book directly, I'm probably not going to buy it because I don't like being told what to do.
And to me, like, that's what your page is for. That's you post your promotional content on your page saying, here's what I've done. Here's my product. Here's where you can get it. If you're interested, please go buy it. You post that on your page. Mm-hmm. You do not DM that to me. That is not.
I know.
I know there's no rules, but also like that's not proper etiquette in my opinion.
It's not. Yeah, so, it's not.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I noticed was not on your list about what not to post, and probably with, you know, valid reasons, is my point that there's a lot of discussion in the bookish social communities about whether or not to post negative reviews of books. Mm-hmm. And this is like such a controversial one of like, everyone has a different stance on it. So like, it's totally up to you. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer here. And I think that Maria and I might even approach this differently. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. But my general personal practice is that I don't post negative reviews. And my reasoning for that is I want to have a career in publishing, whether that's as an author, an editor, or otherwise. And that means that some of these authors may end up being my colleagues. And I don't want their first impression of me to ever be that I posted a negative review of their book once. Like, if that's the first point of reference that they have for me as a person, do you know how mortifying that would be? Oh, that would be awful. If they just happened across it, terrible. They tied my name to that, and then suddenly we're working at the same publishing house and they're like, oh, you, like, no, I'm not putting up with
that.
Nope, I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So because that's where I'm coming from, not everyone is coming from that same angle. So if you want to post negative reviews, you can absolutely go ahead. I might still mention, like, if I couldn't get into a book or I DNF'd it because of personal preference, but I will always be very careful to make it very clear that I couldn't get into it because of a personal subjective reason, not because the author was bad. Like, if you're going to post a negative review, I think that's really important to be really, really aware of, because art can be so subjective, and most of the time people just couch it as like, no, this book is objectively bad because of this and this and that. And no, those are all subjective reasons that like wouldn't bother me if I was reading it. So having more self-awareness of your own biases when you're posting that negative review, I think if you're going to post it anyway, be careful, be kind. That's That's true think, of yeah, most my, things. Be careful and be kind.
I think so too. Like my approach to that is not totally different. Like I think as someone who wants to be published and is planning to publish soon, it's not in my best interest to post negative reviews because like I said, like authors are your colleagues, not your competition. And I'm not a big fan. You know, I wouldn't be very pleased if I had an author friend and they posted a negative review of my book. It feels like bad karma. Like yeah. I would rather they just not post a review at all, which is what I do when I don't like a book. I'll rate it like a star rating on Goodreads or whatever, or like Storygraph, but I won't write like a full review and I don't post negative reviews to our page. And I've had some people ask about that and I'm just sort of like, well, I don't want to be that person. Like I'm not a big fan of tearing books down on the internet like that, especially because art is subjective. There's like, for example, like I DNF'd Fourth Wing, you know, and this shocks and horrifies so many people.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to post about why I DNF'd it and what I thought about the writing and everything like that, because there's so many people that love that book, you know, like, yeah, that's going to get you a lot of traction and attention, but is it not, not all attention is good attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's important too. And I think if you're an author, I think that you should steer clear from posting negative reviews. If you're a bookstagrammer, sure, but do not tag the author. Do not tag authors in negative reviews.
No.
Only tag them if it's like 4 stars or above. Do not tag them otherwise. Like this is a big a debate also on like threads and whatnot recently. And of course people take it literally and they take it with like absolutely zero context. But the thing is to me is like if you are posting a negative review, the author doesn't need to see that.
Absolutely
and I had
not.
There was someone on threads being like, well, how are they gonna know what they need to improve on? Listen, Sally, who just picked up my book, who's at like 10th grade reading level, I don't need your feedback, okay?
Nope.
It went through like 10 beta readers, an editor, another editor, then me again. I don't need your
opinion. Need to listen to Sally on Instagram, thanks.
Yeah. And remember that when you get bad reviews too. Sometimes like, you know, when you see those reviews, especially on Goodreads, and Goodreads is social media, by the way, and I love it, but people will write these like long ass reviews with like the GIFs and the whole bit, and they make it, it's like they're trying to get drama class attention. And I'm sort of looking at it like, how much time do you have?
Where do you get
some of that time? Can I have some?
Yeah.
And why are you spending so much time shitting on someone's hard work? To me, like, no matter how bad the book is, somebody wrote a book and published it. And that's more than most of those reviewers could ever say. So like negative reviews have their place. Critical reviews have their place. But I think if you're an author or writer, I think you should steer clear of doing that. Like for sure, I've read books where I've been like, oof, they kind of missed this in the editing or like this could have used another editing pass. I'm not posting that to my page. What if we become friends and they go scroll my page and then I've got a post being like, I hated this book. This person. They're going to be like, they're going to feel betrayed, right? And I just think it's not a good look when you're trying to build a good social media presence. And that's my rant.
Yeah. I think there's a really good distinction that you made there that like, if you're an author or you want to work in publishing and that kind of thing, posting negative reviews is probably not a good idea. But if you're a reader, and your page is about reviewing books, you are now a critic.
Yeah.
That is your job.
Yes.
That is what you've made your role. So, yeah, you can post negative reviews as often as you please. I would still say make an effort to be kind and give people the benefit of the doubt.
Definitely.
But, like, you know, people are going to do that or they're not. We have no control over it. I think one of the most helpful things I've heard about reviews more recently is, like, reviews are not for the author.
That's right. Yeah. They're for readers.
Very much so for readers. They're not for the author. So don't read the comments. Don't read the reviews. Don't read the reviews for your books on Goodreads. I recently just kind of like popped on Goodreads to like check my ratings on my books. Shouldn't have done that because there was like a 3-star or something on there with no review. And I was like, then I was stewing about it for hours. And it's like,
why?
This is none of my business. This does not need to matter to me. Someone didn't like it. Shit's going to happen. People are not going to like my books. That's going to happen.
Well, it's just, I think that's a tough one for a lot of people with anxiety or who are like people pleasers like us. You take it as like, they don't like me personally. but that's not the case.
Yeah. Key point, they don't know me personally, so.
Exactly. And how many people really know you personally? Like, I think everyone, like, I think this is the other thing I want to touch on is your social media persona doesn't have to be exactly you.
No.
Right? Like, I would say, like, mine is close, and I definitely like to post like thoughts that come into my head. Like, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But I definitely make sure that I am being more careful of what I say, and I'm making sure I'm kinder than like say what I would say to like my husband in the privacy of our own home is not something that I'm gonna say on like my Bookstagram where we have like 22,000 something followers. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna post that there.
Yeah.
There's parts of your life that you should keep private, and there's thoughts that you should keep in your head. And I think we all know enough people and have been out in the world long enough to know there's some thoughts people should keep inside their head.
Or most of us do anyway.
Those of us with some self-awareness, which I like to think is writers and authors, but I've seen some serious shit lately that is making me question if these people have like learned empathy from their reading or not. But, you know, I could talk about that all day.
Probably. I could do a whole episode just ranting about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do that because we have a few more things to cover.
We do.
And the next one is how to engage with readers and potential readers. And I think that this is, like, the biggest thing after what do I post is, like, okay, how do I connect with my audience? Like, how do I grow my page?
Yes, this is hard and it's intimidating. And if you're starting from scratch, you have no idea. Like, I do recommend, sorry, I'm hijacking your
go
your
take it away.
If you are an aspiring writer or you want to query, blah blah blah, get on Bookstagram and make a Bookstagram account and keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the book world, because I think too many writers, a lot of us are introverts, we like to hide, don't want to share, and we get really intimidated by the marketing and having an author page and stuff like that. So I'd recommend get your foot in the door by doing a Bookstagram, because if you're a writer, you're probably a reader. You don't have to post a ton, but like go make some friends, follow some pages, and kind of get an idea of what it looks like in the reader space, and then you'll have a better idea of how to engage with people.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're just going to sound like, hey, do you want to buy my book? And people are going to be like, oh, my God.
Block.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
No, good. That connects very nicely into kind of the main point that I want to make is that social media is social.
Yes.
So all of us with introversion and social anxiety and all those fun things, like, social media is still a social setting. You are still living in community with other human beings, other real life people. Yes, there are robots and bots out there. But
and you don't have to wear pants, but
exactly. You know, the rules are slightly different, but it is still a social communal setting. And I think it's most helpful to view each social media platform as a community in and of itself. Like, just please remember that these people are human beings. The person on the other side of that post writing that comment is sitting in front of a keyboard just like you and me. And a lot of us resonate on similar things. So if you're like, when you walk into a room full of people, some of them know each other, some of them don't. Social media is the same. You don't just walk up to someone and say, hey, want to be friends? And then walk away. Mm-hmm. And then talk to somebody else and say the same thing and then walk away and walk to the next person. And the way that we get followers on these platforms is very much like that. Like, pop in, say hi, follow, and then never talk to them again. That's not how we make connection in real life. You want to show interest in the other person first, so indicate that you're curious and engaged and looking for genuine connection, and then if they reciprocate that openness, great, you get to share with them about yourself. They've opened that door. But that doesn't mean that you can suddenly stop asking them about their life because they've shown some interest in yours. Like, it's always going to need to be somewhat reciprocal, and if you want to keep that relationship going, you need to nurture it. And it's the same on social media. And this is, we've mentioned this before, this is obviously for like small audiences, for people just starting out. Brandon Sanderson isn't going to be sitting on his DMs and answering every single message that he gets. That's probably not humanly possible for someone with that big of an audience. So once you reach a certain level of interest, followers will come and go without interacting with you at all. And that's just how parasocial relationships like these work, and I'm not qualified to speak on that mass level. So that's all I'll say about that. But one of the biggest mistakes I think I see the smaller accounts making daily is just doing like mass follow for follows and expecting that to make a difference in their engagement and on their posts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to affect your likes, your comments, or your shares. It's not going to. There's some basic logic to think about here. If someone's just following you so that they get another follower on their account in return, they probably don't care what you post about. Like, they're not really thinking about it. They don't have anything against you, but they're not looking for more content. They just want that additional number in their follower count. And if it turns out that, like, after they follow you, they don't actually like what you post because it comes up in their feed every once in a while, yeah, they're probably going to unfollow you. And or they might just, like, never interact with your stuff. So it'll show up less and less in their feed, and you never get engagement from them anyway because they're not seeing your stuff anymore. Well, that's just how the algorithm works. The less you engage with someone, the less you see what they are posting. So this is why I stopped doing follow trains quite a while ago. And I pretty much regret that I ever took part in them in the first place. Because talk about follower bloat. Like,
same.
Right? Followers from follow trains and things like that don't care what you're posting. We're all here for the same reason. We just want more followers. Like, I get that. I understand account growth is really hard. It's really slow and no one wants to, you know, slog through that. So I understand why we all get attracted to these follow trains, because it seems like such an easy way. We all want to grow that audience, get more traction and engagement. I want that too. But those numbers are literally just one more number on your follower count, and they don't actually affect whether your posts are being seen. So when those people eventually inevitably unfollow or just never engage, the next thing that I see happen is people get offended left and right. And they're posting about this and ways to figure out who followed you to unfollow, and then shitting on those people and dragging them through the mud and just being overall petty and juvenile. And first of all, what a waste of my time. Second of all, like, what were you expecting? I'm going to sound patronizing and condescending here. Like, I know that is in my tone. It's kind of on purpose. But seriously, the number of people who get offended about follow for follow and then follow to unfollow, that's literally what you're doing to grow your own audience. So why are you not expecting that in return? Like, it's just going to happen to you. It's astounding to me that people can get so up in arms about this, because if you just think about it for a few quick minutes, like, you realize how quickly it all falls apart.
Pretty much. Yeah. And the thing about, like, I just want to say, like, unfollowing is not a dirty word. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to unfollow someone because you don't agree or vibe with their content, or they posted something that's kind of questionable, like, you can absolutely do that. I did actually, this happened once, and I remember it hurt my feelings. I was still a baby bookstagrammer. Now I'd be like, whatever. But when I first started, I had done a lot of follow trains, right? Which was kind of, I didn't even know Bookstagram existed when I started our account. So I did a lot of, like, I learned by doing, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some bigger, it was a bigger account I'd followed. And, like, I did like her page, but she never answered my DMs, and, like, we didn't really chat otherwise. And, like, she didn't really read the same stuff I was reading. It's like, you know, I think I'm going to unfollow her because, like, you know, I just not feeling it. Mm-hmm. So I unfollowed her, and she DM'd me and was, like, mean to me about it. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, how do you have, like, 20,000 followers when you're kind of a bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I can unfollow you if I want to. Mm-hmm. And it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth. And then actually a little while later, when I kind of got over it, I went through all my following and I just unfollowed people that either I didn't talk to, I wasn't into their content anymore. Mm-hmm. They were like a follow train thing, and, like, we never interacted. Mm-hmm. And I probably cut down, like, over 1,000 followers. It took me a while to do.
Yeah.
And I lost followers too, because as soon as they saw that I'd unfollowed them, they also unfollowed me.
Yeah.
I don't really know how people track that. I know there's some apps, but they're really buggy.
You have to spend so much time doing it.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, if they unfollow me, okay, that's their choice. I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
And I know I don't, you know, if I post something that they don't like, or I'm posting too much dog content on my stories, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. bye.
Yeah.
Not going to change what I post for one person.
No, exactly. And that's what I was going to touch on with my next note, was, like, on the follow to unfollow topic. this is an impossible thing to judge. So that's part of why when people get petty about it, I get so irritated. Because like I've 100% more than once followed someone and then realized I do not like their content. Like it triggers me. It's stuff like I really don't like it. I don't want to see it. So yeah, I could block them or like do something like that. But that seems really drastic to me. Like they're just living their life. It's not their fault that I don't like their content. Like that's my subjective opinion. So I unfollow them. Because that's not the content I was expecting. And I didn't realize that until after I'd followed them. And I guarantee you that happens all the time. So hunting down the people who follow to unfollow and shit-talking them for the next 5 years is a pretty bad look. And it's unfair. Too much work. And it's unfair. It's unfair to other human beings who like, oh, they didn't like your stuff. So you're going to crucify them for not following you silently? Like that's
it doesn't make sense.
If you don't like my stuff, please don't follow me. I don't. Mm-hmm. Please don't.
Just don't do it.
I don't need that in my life, right? So, like, I perfectly understand going through your followers to unfollow people that have done this and clean things up a bit. No harm there. I've done it too. Mm-hmm. Because I follow people that's like, oh, I don't interact with this. I don't like this. So then, yeah, I'm going to clean that up a little bit. But it's the attacking and the name smearing and the blacklisting and then blocking and all this behavior that is, my opinion, way too excessive. Creating drama where there's no need for it. So, like, this is, again, this is a community of human beings. Mm-hmm. And treat them as such, I guess.
And I think, and the thing that I think is weirdly hard for a lot of people when they start is, like, it's okay to just follow pages that you like and naturally engage with them. Like, it doesn't have to all be, like, because you're trying to promote your book and you're like, this person looks like they'll read my book and I'm going to comment on their stuff until they follow me and, like, then I'm going to send them a DM about my book. Like comment on their pre-photos, like enjoy their content, like connect with them. You don't have to cold call every single person you want to follow or want them to follow you.
Right.
Like, especially like from an author perspective, like your readers are there for the books and the community. Mm-hmm. If you don't acknowledge that and work from the headspace, you're going to alienate your potential readers very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to just have some self-awareness. I feel like that might be a theme in this episode of like, and I know a lot of people struggle on social media and like maybe because they struggle socially already and that's totally fair. Mm-hmm. But if you're not sure, do less like and test the waters. Yep. Like you're kind of learning as well. So like just, you know, be gentle to yourself.
Be careful.
And don't, I mean, there's also a fine line of like not sounding like a stalker. Like I sometimes like I get really, I'm an excitable person, I guess you could say. Elise is smiling right now. Like, yeah. So when I find an account I really like and I'm like, I feel like I'm maybe coming on really strong. I like all their posts, like comment on their posts, like I watch their story, I'm like, oh, your dog is so cute. So I do try like rein it in a little so I don't sound like a stalker. But then I'm also like, that's just who I am as well. Mm-hmm. And if they follow me back and they like chat back to me, I'm like, oh, okay, like maybe they don't mind, right? But like, yeah, read the room. If someone's like always ignoring your DMs, like just stop. Like I have had some weird DMs and I get some weird ones. Like there's always the creepy, like maybe fake boomer profiles where they're like, you have a great smile. Like something. Like you're going to get weird messages.
Yeah.
And if you ever post a picture of yourself, you're probably going to get some weird messages because it's the internet and men are gross.
Yep.
So yeah, you're going to run into that a little too. So just, you know, this is a great place to talk about boundaries, actually.
The perfect segue.
Yes, I do love boundaries. I'm a big boundary setter. So you have to decide on your social media boundaries, and those can change as well. Mine have changed over the years since I started our podcast. Bookstagram definitely has changed. I'm not a big social media user in my personal life. So like if you follow my personal Instagram, I think the last time I posted was like September. You know, I'm not a big poster on there because I don't know, I post my story and the people that I see regularly know what's up in my life. I don't feel the need to post it. And then, you know, but on Tea Grannies I like to post a ton. I post almost 5 days a week sometimes. I post on the story every day. But I do have some boundaries with that, and so you just have to decide what yours will be. Like, will you be keeping your children's faces off your page? Highly recommend that you do this for like 1,000 reasons, but Will you share things about your day job, your home life? That totally depends. Like, is your partner okay with you sharing that? Obviously, pets can't give consent. That's just too bad. That's part of the rent that they pay to be in our lives, is they get pictures taken of them and posted. Maybe don't post a lot about your day job because your day job might not like that, So those are some things you have to think about and decide what the line is going to be for you. I like to share my animals, things about my writing, what I'm reading, what I'm enjoying. I love funny memes and reels and things like that.
Yeah.
Occasionally I weigh in on some stuff that's circling around the author community or the Bookstagram community. But again, the internet is forever. So if you're not okay with having an opinion you posted follow you around, don't post it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to keep some things off social media. Mm-hmm. And a little advice, even though I feel like this should also be pretty common standard. Common sense. Don't post if you've been drinking or using drugs.
Of like, any kind. You
will look like an asshat and probably wish you hadn't posted it in the morning because it seemed funny at the time, but it's not funny later. And it's okay if you're sending dumb shit to your friends on Snapchat when you're drinking, that's cool, but maybe keep it off your author books Instagram or your Bookstagram or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good. It's not a good look.
It is,
you know,
not.
Especially if like over 21.
Really, oof,
you know, oof. When you hit your 30s, yeah, you know, not a good look. It looks like you have no self-control.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I think going back to something you said earlier, consent is something that gets forgotten. I mean, in real life too, but on social media way too quickly. So like you said, like, are you going to post pictures of your children and their faces on social media? That's a decision you have to come to as a parent. And seeing as I'm not a parent, I don't know how much I can speak into this, but children are some of the most vulnerable. They don't often get the choice whether they consent to something or not, which they get to unpack in therapy later. Lots and lots of therapy later.
I mean, this is a whole other thing, like the whole like family blogging, mommy blogging, or just like the person in your life who posts everything that their kid does. They unfortunately have to carry that baggage around with them forever. Those potty training videos are on the internet forever. And I mean, I could go on and on about how I disagree with that being on the internet. But I think, definitely be careful with what you post about your kids. I just think like there's way too many creeps out there and the internet is forever. So, I mean, that's one of the things that like I don't post, I don't think I ever post pictures or videos of my nephew even to my Instagram, even though like my sister-in-law posts him all the time. You know, it's her kid, it's her choice, but he doesn't need to be seen by, you know, my 2,500 Instagram followers.
Sure.
You know, he's six.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that shit yet.
Yeah. And I mean, well, I can't speak into like whether or not you post your children's pictures and how you come to that decision. That's totally up to you. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer there. The place that I'm coming from is like my husband has explicitly asked that I do not post pictures of him on social media of any kind. So I respect that request. Like that's his choice. He doesn't want his face plastered all over social media to a bunch of random strangers he has no desire to know. I completely understand that and respect that boundary that he's set. And like Maria has said more than once, the internet is forever. And these platforms that we're posting all this content on, they're not secure. And they're not out to protect your best interests. They own what you post. They can take that and you won't know what they're doing with it. So be mindful about what you post. Keep backups of your stuff. The IT in me is coming out a little bit here. And never trust that platform that you're using. It's not going to help you if shit goes south. Like you can't trust or rely on that. So be aware of what you're dealing with. Be aware of your rights and your security and lack thereof. Like, as long as you know what you're getting into, like you're aware, you know what the dangers are, you know that you can handle them, great, keep going. But just have that awareness. Informed consent is more important to me than ever. The more that I learn about how these platforms operate, and I think informed consent is what will help you make appropriate boundaries for yourself on social media and for the people in your life on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also your personal choice if you want to feature your face or body on your social media. Like I think for a lot of people that is something that they're worried they have to do for their social media to do well, and you do not. Like I think on ours, like what we've posted our faces
once or twice
maybe, and like there might be couple of me usually hiding behind a book because mm-hmm. I don't really want my whole face mm-hmm. out all the time. And that's fine. There's ways to work around it. There's lots of people I follow who I've never seen them
yeah.
in their page, and it yeah. is great. So just keep that in mind. I think that's something mm-hmm. that a lot of people find triggering too. Like, I'm not going to post a full body shot on like my Instagram because like I already like am insecure enough, like I don't need the world to comment. Like, I would get one mean comment and I'd be like, no. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that you know will bother you, just don't even do it.
Just
like, you're in control of your social media. And yep. I think a lot of people forget that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And if yeah. that is something that you enjoy doing and posting pictures of yourself, yeah, and you like that validation, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely. Be yeah. aware of what you're getting yourself into and whether
yes.
that's appropriate for you or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you can handle the creepy DMs, then mm-hmm. power to you, because
yeah.
I hate those.
Oh, yeah.
Which leads me to don't feed the trolls. This is such a tough one. I know that this is a tough one for, like, everybody. It's very easy to get talked into an online argument. It's happened to me before loads of times. If the comment's directly on your post, on your feed or anything like that, I mean, maybe they'll have to answer. But take the time to reflect on it before you do mm-hmm. and how you choose to answer, and if you choose to answer mm-hmm. blocking is always an option, and just remember, a lot of the time the inflammatory comments are meant to get a rise out of you and have you say something regretful or rude that can then you can be harassed for even longer. So use that block button freely. If someone's posts or comments harm your mental health or are bringing negative attention to your brand, just like block them. That's fine. I mean, this is different when you've posted something horrible or controversial, then yeah, that's a bit different. But I'm talking like in your general thing. Like, I saw someone post on Threads the other day. I thought it was quite funny. She was like, you know, why are men always saying like you're gonna grow up old and alone with your cats? Like, I love mm-hmm. being with my cat. Mm-hmm. And it's like a joke, you know, the crazy cat lady joke that just apparently never gets old for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And one of the top comments was a guy making a sexual comment about how the cat's tongue wouldn't be as good.
Oh my god.
And I was going, like, that's the kind of thing, like, why block. Would you just wouldn't answer, just block. Just block, don't block, even block, answer block. Yeah, so choose what you're gonna answer to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're gonna get people who like completely miss the point, and like, that's okay. It's mm-hmm. not your job to educate everybody, and you can't anyways. A lot of people are super set in their opinions,
and you don't even yeah. like if you like me struggle with using the block button because you feel bad mm-hmm. you don't have to do mm-hmm. that. You can just ignore it. Like,
yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely.
Chances are that one person isn't gonna, you know, suddenly become your stalker and post on every single mm-hmm. thing and add more comments. Like, if you don't feed the troll, it won't come back for more because
yeah.
it knows it won't get fed. So
yes,
just ignore it if you don't feel like
blocking. I feel like we sound like everybody's mom right now. Like, just ignore it when they're mean to you. But it does have some truth to it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind as well. Like, you don't have to feed them. You can starve them instead, and that works great.
And I mean, one thing that helps me to keep in mind is, like, a lot of the trolls are just bots anyway. Like,
yes, that's a
so
good
many
point.
Of those DMs and comments, like the, you know, the mm-hmm. promote now link.
Oh comment, yes, yeah.
They're not actual human beings posting that on your posts. Those
right,
are.
I got the funniest DM the other day.
Oh, good.
It was one of those, like, we think you'll be a great rep for our brand, and I get like quite a few of those. Mm-hmm. They're always like random. Sometimes they're dog related, mm-hmm. so I'm like, okay.
I think I had baby clothes once, and like, excuse me.
Oh, that's really funny.
I don't have children. What am I doing with this?
You laugh at the one I got most recently, that I would be a good spokesperson for their goth clothing brand. I was like,
oh no.
I live in riding clothes and pajamas, and I don't post myself on my page. So,
oh my word.
And block.
I love it.
But I had a good laugh about that.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I wouldn't be a good rep for your clothing brand. And also, this is all spam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess we should probably have touched on that too, is like, beware of the spam.
Beware of the spam.
It is getting better and better as you go. Like, we've been getting some spam at work that is like pretty like convincing. Yeah. And so you have to be pretty careful. And on Instagram in particular, you're going to get a lot of like DMs. Like, I've somehow limited it. So like, if they don't follow me, it goes to like a different inbox. So I don't just get like mm-hmm. you know, stuck with a ton of DMs from like advertising. But know what's spam and what's not. And if you're not sure, just ignore it. Because you know, you don't know, you also don't have to be a detective. Like, is this spam? Would you be interested if it wasn't?
No,
don't worry about it.
Just
ignore it. Like, I had one. This one is actually sneaky, and this one might be a real person. They followed me for quite a while, and they would like look at my story and stuff. And then one day they DM'd me to ask if I wanted our podcast to be featured in an article they were writing for MSN News, and our slot in the article would be $700.
Holy crap.
Let me just
fork that out. Oh my goodness.
Like, I saw that and I was like, does that work on people? Like, I could see you picking like $10 or something that might actually get people to fall for, but $700. Yeah. I was like, that's the biggest scam ever. So just like block and delete. You know, you're going to run into that, and just don't engage with it because it's really not worth the mental energy.
Oh man. Love that spam. So good. So our next and I think last section that we're going to be talking about is that's a spicy one. Political issues. So not spicy in the fun rom-com way, spicy in the inflammatory and argumentative way. And I know that Maria and I approach this differently, so I'm going to offer my perspective. But I want to stress that I don't think this is the right one. I think there are different ways to approach this on social media, and it all depends on what you're comfortable with, what you're trying to do, who your audience is, and, you know, what you feel justified doing and all these different things. And there's a whole huge, like, there's so many conversations about how to approach this, and everyone has different opinions on it, so... this isn't really an opinion. This is just, this is what I do because this is what I feel comfortable doing. I am largely silent when it comes to political issues of any kind because most of the time I don't have enough background knowledge to speak into it in a meaningful way with actual authority. And I don't want to spread misinformation, which is all too easy to do, especially with the advances in technology we've seen in the last year and a half. So like I said, I don't know if this is the right approach, but I'm not really interested in virtue signaling and posturing for other people. And I do know that in life I go to different people for different things. And when I'm on social media and political shit is going down, I will likely stay away from accounts that are posting a lot about it. Because I get overwhelmed by that kind of information really quickly and my feed becomes like, that's all I see. And while yes, these things are important to be talked about and I don't want to discount that. It's like, that's not the only thing that's happening in the world. There's other stuff happening too. So I don't like how it becomes like the only thing that I see. And that's why I try not to engage with it very much. I won't unfollow people for having political opinions and sharing information and posting about those things, but I will probably take a break from interacting with them for a time because that content easily gets to be too much for me. And the other piece to this is just how I'm approaching what I want my social media space to feel like to other people, because I have thought about this and I decided that I wanted to be a space where like you can pretty much know what to expect from me. I'm always going to post about the same kinds of things, books, art, fun, quirky things, maybe some humor, maybe some outdoorsy adventures once in a while. But that's it. I'm not going to suddenly post a video of children weeping over the rubble of their home and their lost family and trauma porn you into making a decision that you're not prepared to think about or make, or trigger you into having a panic attack. Like, the things that we post about affect the people on the other end. And I've seen some like really crushing footage of things recently, like obviously because that's what's happening. And sometimes I'm in a place to receive that and process that, and sometimes I'm really not, and it wrecks me for a while, and I'm not interested in doing that to other people, basically. We have such little control over what we see on social media platforms, and I don't want to contribute to even more shock and trauma and pain to people who are already going through their own stuff in their own lives. Like, yes, I think it's important to engage with this information and know what's going on in the world. And like, I follow the news and I follow these issues and I learn about them in my own ways. Social media is not the place that I want to be doing that. That's just a boundary I've made. That's not where I do that. I do it outside of that. I want to create a space that feels safe and approachable. And I don't know if I'm doing it the right way, but That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. And that's why I don't touch political issues on my socials. I deal with that outside of that. And that's just my personal boundary.
And that's fine. And that's the thing about boundaries. There are some things that you're not going to want to post on your social media. And there's some stuff like, I'm not going to get into like a rage bait type of posting. Mm-hmm. Like I could definitely post stuff, things that bother me in the horse world or the book world. But there's stuff I want our space to be kind of mostly fun and like engaging and like talking about writing and reading and things like that. But I also do like to bring awareness to stuff because I think what has happened to me just lately, I would say, is I feel like there's been a lot of suppression of things in the news in general. Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff on social media that's like the real shit that we're seeing, like from reporters and things like that on the ground. And so I do like to share some of those things to like my story and that. I won't post it to like our feed. And I will post it to a story, nothing that's like you said, like trauma porn. Nothing graphic. But I will post some stuff and it's up to the people that follow me if they want to click on that and read further or if they just want to skip through to the next slide where Maggie is snoring adorably, right? Like that's your choice. And I won't hopefully shove it down anyone's throat. But there is something that could happen to a lot of authors, has happened, where you're going to be put in a position where you have to kind of declare side when it comes to current events, or you're going to feel like you have to. And this is your choice. I want to say that, like, it, not everybody wants to make a big stand on something, and you will get people saying that like you're horrible for not doing it or whatever. But you'll get just the same amount of people saying you're horrible for doing it. So it's up to you. Yeah, exactly. So if you're going to say something or you want to take a stand on a political issue, just be sure that you have done some research on your own. You've reviewed impartial news reports and be aware of how you deliver your support or your lack of support. And I say that because I've seen lately quite a few things. There's obviously tons of fake shit on the internet. And I think that you have to be careful. If you're like, wow, that sounds terrible, I'm going to post that to my story. Like, how dare they have done that? Well, maybe fact check it before you post it. Because
fact check it first.
Fact checking is your friend, especially if you're going to post about political stuff. And do be aware that you will lose followers. You might have people in your DMs saying shit to you. And that's what comes with taking a stand, whether you do that in your real life or not either. I think that no matter how you deal with it, you're going to have to... Yeah, it's going to come up. And like, for example, we'll get too far into it because it's sad. And also, I don't want to talk the whole episode about it because I'm pretty passionate about it. There's a conflict, I'm using that term lightly, between Israel and Palestine. And most of us know about it. And by any definition, it's a genocide. But there's a lot of bookstagrammers and authors who are being harassed for supporting Palestine. They're being called anti-Semitic. I've been called that too, which I thought was quite interesting. I was like, I didn't realize that saying you don't want people to die is like anti-Semitic. But I mean, what do I know, apparently? And there's a lot of big time authors who were previously really well respected, and they're coming out on either side and they're losing followers or readers one way or another, whether they support what you consider the right side or not. And so it is, I don't know, a social cost, I suppose, of having a platform and what you're going to use it for. And I think here's the other thing too, is you can only advocate for so many causes. So don't feel like because you have a platform, say you end up being one of those like lucky social media people, you have like 100,000 followers and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to use my platform always for everything bad. That's I mean, like bring awareness. I mean, you can kind of just like pick the things that are meaningful to you and whatever you want to share. You know, like I'm really passionate about rescuing dogs and animals in general. And I'll totally post stuff about that sometimes. But you know, if someone that follows me like got a dog from a breeder, I'm not gonna like take that personally and take it out on them, that kind of thing. So I think either way, you kind of can't win, because if you post about it, you're gonna have people arguing with you about your opinion, and if you don't post about it, they're gonna be like, why aren't you posting about it? Do you not care? And I think that you have to choose, again, boundaries, what's gonna work for you about it. I ended up, like, when it came to the Palestinian conflict, genocide, let's be real. And I had posted some stuff on my story about it, and I had a few people DM me, again, with not legit loose news sources telling me that I was wrong. And so, yeah, I could have totally taken that personally and like gotten an argument with them. But I was just like, oh, do you have any other resources? And they didn't. And then I was like, all right, I'm not going to argue further with them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. what's the point, right? Mm-hmm. And if they, and they unfollow me, and that's fine. Yeah. And I did say on my page too, I was like, if you want to unfollow me because you disagree, like, you absolutely can. Like, no one is stopping you from unfollowing 100%. Me if you don't like how I think about this. Yeah. And I personally don't want you to follow me if you disagree so strongly with me about certain issues. Like, mm-hmm. there's lots of stuff where I'm like, I can see both sides. But I think generally when it comes to like war and bombings and things like that, I'm like, you know, I don't think that there's really, there's not really a side then. Mm-hmm. There's, so again, I totally went on a tangent about this and I said I wouldn't, but.
As we do. Politics
are touchy. And the other thing too that readers and writers have to remember is reading is political. So even if you want to keep politics off your page, it is occasionally going to come into your sphere. You're not going to be able to help that. Mm-hmm. Anything that you read, anything, contemporary romance where like the main female character is the CEO of like a Fortune 500 company. Well, like that's because of feminism, baby. That's the kind of stuff. It is political still. Or a character gets pregnant and they have an option to get an abortion. That's political. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what you do, there's going to be politics. It's like the main drive behind most fantasy novels, and which is why I find it so interesting that so many people can sympathize when it's fictional, but not when it's real life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are going to run into that too. And there's also a lot of just like tone deaf stuff out there on the internet. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff that's rage bait, clickbait. So I think if you are going to share and you are going to get into your politics on your page, make sure you're sharing good news sources. Like if anybody remembers like high school classes where you had to
check your primary source, check your secondary source.
Yes. This is one of those things that if you are going to get political on your socials, make sure you are doing that. Yeah. And definitely make sure you have a thick skin, because people are going to come for you and they're going to say hurtful things. Mm-hmm. And even though they're just strangers from behind a keyboard, it's still going to hurt your feelings if you have any sensitivity at all. And that's just something you have to decide if you want to deal with that or not. You know, like Elise doesn't want to deal with it, so she doesn't post it.
That's fine, and I'll post
some of it, and I'll like encourage people to advocate and share and like sign petitions and things like that, but I won't make my entire social media about political issues, because I'm really there for, you know, reading and writing. And like Elise said, I don't want to like alienate people from my page or make them see things that upset them and stuff like that. Like having a little consideration for people. They're not following me for politics. They're following me for book writing and podcasting.
We're not news pages.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there are some things, especially with the genocide, like where I was sharing a lot and then I kind of got burnt out from it, which is such a privilege when you think about it. Like, am I burnt out from sharing this horrible thing? Like, I'm not experiencing it. So that's where we get telling ourselves, like, we don't deserve to be burnt out by it, or it's affecting our mental health. Like, what's that? But if it is affecting your mental health, just take a step back, which is what I did. Not because I don't care and not because I don't want other people to see it, but it's like, I just needed to take a break for me, because otherwise I can't be a good ally. Right? That's something to consider too. That's the tea on where writers go wrong with social media. So please rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us at the Tea Grannies Podcast on Instagram and Threads. So happy writing.